Okay, so today we're on Moed Katan Daf Zayin. Let's just refresh our recollection. So in the Mishnah we did yesterday, we learned that Seder is obviously a malacha. And again, I said that all malachot are prohibited on a Chol HaMoed unless it comes under one of the exceptions. So the Gemara has an example where I could do Seder, and the reason I could do the Seder is because it's malacha davar ha'aved. It's the I got to catch the mice and the moles, otherwise they're going to destroy the orchard. So I can do Seder because it's going to cause me damage. So according to the Tanakhama, I can capture the Ishud as the moles and the Acharim are the mice, but so I can capture these sort of rodents from the Stei Ilan or Stei Lavan, Kedarko. I could do it from the orchard, or that's the Stei Ilan, or Stei Lavan is the grain field. I could do that as well on Chol HaMoed and on the Shemitah year. By the way, is Fern here? Let's see. Yeah, Fern's here. So, Fern, you had asked me yesterday about the connection between Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. So, I spoke to Rav Shechter today about it. He said, what is the connection between Shemitah and Chol HaMoed, other than the fact that like the halakha would seem to be similar? So, he said that that's it. In other words, there is no connection between the two of them. It's just that's the way it works out. The halakha are similar, but they're for different reasons. All right.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Okay. In any event, so. And that's basically what Daniel Fotodadian was saying last night. So so the Mishnah says that I could capture the these rodents from the Stei Ilan and the Stei Lavan Kedar Kubamoid. I'm only concerned with Chol HaMoed. And then the Chachamim in the Mishnah say I can only do it from Stei Ilan Kedarko, only from the orchard Kedarko, because there's a Hefseid Meruba. According to the Chachamim, if it's a Hefseid Meruba, then I could do Kedarko. But if it's a hefseid muat, there is some damage, but not significant, then I have to do it for lo kedarko. That's according to the sheets of the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Okay? So the, and then they say on the side that some have that that's the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda. But either way, this is Tanakama and the Chachamim. So let's look at the top line in Zayin Amin Aleph. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Mistei Yilin Kedarko, Mistei Levan Shlo Kedarko. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Ketzat Kedarko. What does it mean, Kedarko? What is the normal way of capturing the rodents? Chofer guma betuleba mitsuda. In other words, you dig a hole, presumably the hole will be like near their hole, like they have their own hole where they're hiding out, and then you lower a trap into it, that would be kedarko. Ketzat shlo kedarko, what's the shlo kedarko way that according to the Chachamim, or actually the Gemara they quoted is Rebbe Yehuda, which is what we've had different farm said that. So what's the way shlo kedarko, the Rebbe Yehuda says you have to do if it's not a lot of hefseid, meaning the Stei Lavan, he says, no H food, you'll stick like a spit into the ground, umakeb kardam, you'll hit it with a hammer, umradeha adama mitachteha. So umradeha adama, it could be to flatten out the earth, so it could be that they're getting killed because like everything is collapsing on them. Or I saw the Rashi Ktav Yad, he said, they'll run out of the hole, and you'll capture them when they run out of the hole. But either way, you get the idea that's like not the normal way to do the capturing. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, we have Rabbi Shimon Lazar, but some have Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Shamru Mistei Lavan Shlo Kedarko, when they said you have to do like Shlo Kedarko, according to the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, Shlo Kedarko, but Stei Lavan, Lo Amru, Lo Bistei Lavan Asmukha Le'ir. There's only Stei Lavan that's near the city. Aval Bistei Lavan Asmukha Le'Sadei Ha'ilan, but if the Stei Lavan, which is the grain field, is near my orchard, so he says, "Afilu kedarko." That even the chacham, even Rabbi Yehuda would hold that I could do kedarko. Shemiyetsu mistei lavan the achrivurilano, because if they're going to go over there, they're going to walk over to the orchard and destroy that. So the whole thing we could view is like hefseid meruba, and I could do kedarko. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us on anything we did so far? The Shemitah here, yeah. So with the Shemitah, it says So the Tanakhama says that in Shemitah you could do Kedarko for both. So when the Mishnah says a chiluk, according to the Chachamim, i.e. Rabbi Yehuda, between the Stei Lavan and the Stei Ha'ilan, I think it means just for Chol HaMoed there's a chiluk. I don't think for Shemitah there would be a chiluk between the two. And the idea is, by Shemitah, the idea is that, I saw this in like Rav Kahati in his translation, was saying like, the idea is I'm working the ground. I would think I'm working the ground, but Kamash Malan, it's not considered working the ground. In other words, I'm not to work the ground to plant plants, but if I'm working the ground to capture the rodents, that I'm allowed to do. Okay? All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's go on. So now, then the Mishnah said another halacha was umekarnet apirtza in the Mishnah, umekarnet apirtza b'moed, you can repair the wall on chol moed, uveshpiyat bonei kedarko. It was like on chol moed, you repair it, but not like a permanent repair. But on the Shemitah year, you can make a full repair to the wall. So the idea being in the Shemitah year, I might think it looks, it could be, well, we'll see in the Gemara, but it could be like one of two tzadim. Either it looks like I'm guarding the fruit, which I'm not allowed to do in the Shemitah year, but it's teaching me that no, I just want it to be a solid wall. I don't want people to either damage the trees or I don't want them to, you know, trample this part of the field, but I'm allowed to do that. In other words, I'll leave the main gate open, but this part I want to do. But let's focus on, again, our Masechta is Moikan, which is Hilchot Chol HaMoed. So we're focusing on the Chol HaMoed part. So back in the Gemara on line 10, yeah, umekarnet apirtza b'moed. You can repair the pirtza. In other words, there's a wall, and I'm repairing it on the Chol HaMoed. So ketzad mekarnet, how do we do that? Rav Yosef bar b'hutza b'dafna. Rav Yosef said b'hutza b'dafna means with the palm fronds and laurel branches. I'll weave them both together, and I'll make like a sort of like a kind of temporary patch to the wall. B'manita tana, in the Brisa, now again, this is on Chol HaMoed. So he says, b'manita tana, the Brisa we learned, Sar b'tzror v'notach b'tid. I'll pile the stones in the breach, but I won't fill it up with clay. You know, it'll be sort of like closed up, but not a permanent closing. So Amar Rav Chisda, lo shana v'lo b'kotel el kotel hagina. So Rav Chisda says, this halacha is by the kotel hagina. And the kotel hagina, it means it's the garden wall, the wall around the garden. So here, in other words, I'll suffer some hefsid if people walk through that wall. I could suffer some hefsid. Maybe people who shouldn't be there are going to walk and take some, you know, things from the garden, you know, but I'll suffer some damage, but not excessive amount of damage. So here, the Tana of the Mishnah seems to say, I can only do like the patched up job. I wasn't quite sure why here, that seems like the Divrei HaKol. Earlier we had the machloka between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda about doing like the Seda Kedarko, Shlo Kedarko. Here, this is like patching, you know, like only Shlok Darko, and it seems like there's like less damage. So I don't know why it's only like one side. I would expect to see my cloak here as well. About Kotel HaChatzer, but if it's the wall to the Chatzer, again, the Chatzer, if you remember, we learned in the Sechet Shabbos and Eruvin, we had where people who live in a Chatzer. And all of us could share a Chatzer. Let's say, you know, you have your home, we each have our home, and this room would be our Chatzer, and there's a wall around it. So the main thing is, the main protection for our property is the wall around the chatzir. We're like living in a fortress. In other words, so that's protecting our property. Once I'm in the chatzir, you know, I hopefully trust you guys, and it'll be that way, one way to look at it. The kotel chatzir bonei kedarko. But if it's the kotel chatzir that fell down, then I could build a kedarko, because that's hefsed meruba, then I got in my house or whatever. So I could rebuild that kedarko even on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, lema misayalei. Now, that's Rav Chisda's din. Rav Chisda says, I only have to do like a patch-up job if it's the kotel gina. But if it's kotel chatzer, then I'm doing the thorough job to repair the wall. So lema misayalei, should we say we have support to Rav Chisda from the following braisa? The braisa says, kotel hagotel the Rishut HaRabim. If there's a wall that's leading into the Rishut HaRabim, means I have my property or my chatzer, and the wall is leaning, my wall, exterior wall, is leaning over into the Rishut HaRabim, into the public thoroughfare. So ter ubone kedarko. So the Brisa says, on Chol HaMoed, I can demolish the wall and rebuild it. Neha sakana, because there's that danger to pedestrians. Now, the Gemara is going to be mechalik in a minute. So the Gemara says, hatam kitakatani taima b'neha sakana. So the Gemara thinks it's a proof, because we see that you could rebuild the wall. So rebuild the wall on Chol HaMoed. And we think that that supports Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, I can rebuild the wall to the chatzer on Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara says over there, I'm allowed to destroy it and rebuild it because of the danger to pedestrians. So the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines that if we didn't let you rebuild it, then you wouldn't want to take it down. In other words, so you say, you know, forget it. You know, if I can't rebuild it, so I hope nobody dies in Chol HaMoed, but I'm not doing this till after Yantif. That's the way people do it. So since we give you a heter to take it down because of the danger to pedestrians and rebuild it. Now, the answer seems so obvious, and they had this in the art scroll, why would I even think it's a question? So the Gemara says the Ikar question was from the rebuilding. In other words, I would have thought that sakana, like it, I wouldn't know that last answer. What is a sakana? I could demolish it. But the fact of the price is I could rebuild it. That teaches me I could rebuild even during, I would have thought, teaches me that I could even rebuild during Chol HaMoed, but Kamash Malan, the way I'm saying it to you, okay? Now, the Igad Amri, others say that the conversation went down in the base medrash this way. Tashma, Kotel Gochel of Shudarabim, if you have a wall that's leading through Shudarabim, means from a Chatzer, Soter Ubona Kidarko, you can demolish it on Chol HaMoed and rebuild it on Chol HaMoed, but they have Sakana, because of the Sakana, for the danger of the pedestrians. So the Gemara deduces from the Braisa, from Nea Sakana in, so the only reason I could demolish and rebuild it is because of Sakana. Shlob Nea Sakana lo. But if it wouldn't be Sakana, I couldn't do it. So Lema Tebei Tziyuf to the Rav Chista. So that which was approved to Rav Chista in the first Lashon is a Kasha against Rav Chista in the second Lashon. In other words, that the only circumstances under which I could rebuild this wall is because there's an underlying Sakana, otherwise I can't do it. So Amalak Rav Chista would say to you in rebuttal, he says, Hatam Soter Ubona. Over there in the Braisa, when he says you can do it because of Sakana, he's teaching I could demolish it and rebuild it, all because of the underlying Sakana. Hacha Bona below Soter. Here, in my case, when I say that you could rebuild a wall, I'm just saying it's already demolished, and the wall has got a hole in it. But you could rebuild the wall properly on Chol HaMoed. So Hakam Nami Listor below Livni. So the Gemara says, so there too also, why don't you say you could be soter it and don't rebuild it on Chol HaMoed, because you said everything was the Sakana. So the Sakana, so just demolish it and don't rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. Imkain Mimna below Soter. If you would tell people that's what the only thing you could do is demolish it, you can't rebuild it, so then nobody's going to want to demolish it. So we want to incentivize people when they have a dangerous wall over the Rosh HaSarabim to demolish it and then feel free to rebuild it. So there's a heter that the Chachamim built in the Halacha. Okay, let me just do a few lines and I'll summarize, then we'll take questions. So, Amara, okay, so we're around 15 lines from the bottom on Zion Amin Aleph, 7a. Okay, Robert, that's for you. Okay, so a few lines before the Mishnah. So Amar Rabashi says, Manit Nami Deka, we could deduce the same Halacha from a careful reading of our Mishnah. The Katani Uvashvi Bona Kedarko, he says that the Mishnah says on Shemitah, you can rebuild in a normal fashion. So Dehecho, so again, Rav Chista said the Halacha of the Mishnah only applies to a garden. There, I build it, not Kedarko. But in the Shviyad, I could build Kedarko. So Dehecho, where are you rebuilding in the Shemitah year that the Mishnah is speaking about? He named it the Chatzer. If you would say that he's talking about a Chatzer, so Shrikla Meymar, in other words, a Chatzer is like a residential wall. So does that have anything to do with Shemitah? No. Why would the Tana even mention that to me? It's got nothing to do with anything. Elav Degina. So rather, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about rebuilding the wall in the garden. That's the thing. He says, "Va'apagav the Mexic manda aven nitirut the peray." Even though it looks like in the Shemitah year, like you're doing shmir on the peyrot, on the Shemitah year, the fruit has to be left out to everybody who wants to come and take it. It's all hefker. So it looks like I'm creating like a shmir around the peyrot. So he says, "Shmamina." So nevertheless, the Tana teaches me I could do this because the front gate is going to be open, and I'm just sealing off this wall because I don't want people to either damage the trees or to damage the field by walking, creating a pathway here. But in Achanam, we'll have to do it. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll go further. So we're talking about Malachit Bona. Bona is a Malach on Shabbos, is a Malach on Chol HaMoed. And then, nevertheless, we learned in the Mishnah that that I could be Mekarin at appearance of a Moed. I could patch up like a breach in the wall on Chol HaMoed. So we explained that means like a temporary patch. And the temporary patch is either that I'm weaving together the palm fronds and the laurel, like filling that, or another shot we had in the Gemara, I'm putting stones in but without clay, and it'll just stay that way, and then it'll sort of be a temporary patch. And we learned that the reason I can't do like a full rebuilding of the wall is because it's a hefseid muad. It's just a little hefseid with my garden. It's not substantial. But lu yatzur would be the wall of the chatzer. Yeah, then that's a hefseid meruba, and then I could rebuild it kedarko. I could rebuild it in the normal fashion. And okay, and then we said on the Shemitah year, I could rebuild it in the normal fashion. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Hey, what's up? Rafi's going to ask a question, and I'll repeat it. Go ahead. So Yeah, no, I don't. In other words, on Yontif, I would say put up a sign and tell people, don't walk over here. I mean, there, obviously, pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do it, but here it's like, it's like I think there's a way to like stave it off. You know what I mean? So I that's what I would think on Yontif. So Rafi was asking on Yontif if the wall's leaning, could I tear it down? So I said you just try to hopefully put up signs and keep people away from it. So it's if the well on if you have the heter like it's I think it would be if you have a heter melacha davar ha'aved, so you have a green light to do the malacha, but obviously if a non-Jew would do it, that's even one more removed. So that's better. In other words, like the idea is that you shouldn't be busy with work and kol hamoed, you have time to study Torah. So even though you have the heter for these things, if you don't need it, so then it's better if you have non-Jews doing it. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
From last night's logic, maybe the Jew is going to be willing to try to bless.
Anyway, the I mentioned to you before you came in, Daniel. I spoke to Rav Shachter today about the Shemitah and the Chol Hamoed. He said that it's just like in the way what you were saying. It's just similar halakha, but not in any way otherwise related. Okay. All right. We go up to the next Mishnah. We're around 10 lines from the bottom on Zion and Aleph. Okay. So moving over, unless there's anybody more questions. Okay. So. So Manitin Rebeir Omer Roin and the Gayim Lahakel of Olul Hachmir. So this is talking about if a person has Saras, we know is like the skin blemish, and if you have it Chas V'Shalom, then you have a whole series of halachot. Now, when you have Saras, if you remember, the Torah says that if it has all the simanim for Saras, so let's say it could be a white patch of skin, and there's white hairs growing out of it. Or it's a white patch of skin and there's regular flesh in it, so then the kohen will declare you tamei. And then once he declares you tamei, you leave all the machanot, and you grow your hair long, and you rend your garments, and tamei tamei yikra. And your badad yeshev mifutz lamachanah moshavo. All right, that's the way. So that's not a ideal situation for anybody, but that would be the way we go. But let's say the person comes to the kohen, it's just a white patch of skin, but there's no white hair growing out of it, and there's no normal flesh in it. So the Kohen will confine the person for a week. He'll stay in the Machaneh, but he's confined. He's like in quarantine. It's like the same words, bidud. But I mean, bidud is badad yishev, is when he's a relative of Sower, but that's in Israel now. They use the word bidud for quarantine. So he'll be in the Machaneh, but he'll be muskar. He's confined. And then after the week, the Kohen will look at him again. So if after the week, if it has a simanim now, then he goes out. Then he's in Sora. If it's still no simanim, then he puts him away for another week. Then after week two, he looks at him. If at that point he's got simanim, he's in Sora. If not, then he's a free man. Okay, that's the way that goes. Now, for this sugya, it's important to remember. Now, on the other end of the equation, let's say he is a Mitzorah. Now, when the first stage is called Mitzorah Muskar, if he's confined. And then if he's confirmed Mitzorah, he's a Mitzorah Mukhlat. Mitzorah Mukhlat. Now, when he's a Mitzorah Mukhlat, let's say his blemish gets better. So then he goes through a stage, which is described in the beginning of Parshas Mitzorah with the birds and the whole thing. But then there's a seven-day period where he goes through a process till he gets, to be Tahor, and then he brings a Korban. I think on the eighth day, the way I remember. So during that 7 days, it says v'yashav michutz lo halo shivat yamim. He has to be outside his tent, but because I'll understand tent meaning the wife, meaning he can't have relations with his wife during that period of time. So everybody agrees that you can't have relations with your wife during the 7 days when you're coming out of the tzaras. But then there's a machloket tanayim. Can I have relations with my wife when a person's a mesorah muchlat? So one tana says yes, one tana says no. But during the period when he's Mitzor Muskar, he could still have relations with his wife. Okay, so going into it, he could still have relations with her. Everybody got that? Okay, so now let me read the Mishnah, and then we'll take some questions, right? So Manithin, Remeir Omer, Ruin and Nagayim Lahakel, Volulahakmir. So this is talking about it's Chol Hamoed, and somebody has like a skin blemish. So Remeir says, the Kohen should look at it only Lahakel. It was if the Kohen can say that he's Tahor, he'll say Tahor of Olua Hachmir, but he won't pronounce anybody Tami. Now, unless the Kohen pronounces it, he's not Tami. In other words, Until the Kohen says you're Tameh, you're not Tameh. So Meir says you look at it and just declare Tahor or zero. You don't want to, in other words, the idea being, you don't want to like parshter the simcha. You don't want to mess up the simcha of Yantiv. So we're not going to clear anybody Tameh, but we'll see. The Chachamim say, and we'll see, this is really Reb Yossi, lo lahakil v'lo lahakir. Come and say, once you get involved, then you have no choice but to go forward and call the shots as they may be, Tahor or Tameh. So the best way is just like shave al tasa, don't get involved with the person, okay? So those are the two shito, all right? So let me go on a little bit in the Gemara, and then we'll pause in another 10 lines, all right? So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Braisa. The Braisa covers the ground of the Mishnah, but a little bit more. Tanya, Rabbi Meir says, we're going to Negayim lahakel v'lo lahakmir. We're just going to look at Negayim, the purpose of declaring them Tahor, but not to declare them Tameh. This is Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo lahakel v'lo lahakmir. This is, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to involve with Negayim at all. Shimatan is kaklo lahakel. If you get involved with him, with this person, with intent to declare him Tahor, this kaklo af lahakmir. Then if he's Tameh, you got to declare him Tameh. So just stay away. I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe says, now, with Rebbe, this gets a little tricky. Rebbe comes out, according to the Bali Tosfot, Rebbe really holds like Rebbe Yossi, that once you get involved with somebody, you got to declare Tameh or Tahor. But Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divir Rebbe Meir, but Muskar. I like Rebbe Meir's opinion, but Muskar. So it doesn't really mean Rebbe Meir, means that Rebbe is saying, get involved with somebody who's a Mansoor Muskar. So we'll see that it's going to mean the second Hesker. In other words, he already has been confined for 2 weeks. So now the issue is going to be he either goes free or he's going to be in the Mansoor Muklak. Those are the only two choices at the end of the 2 weeks. So Rebbe says, I think the Kohen should get involved with that person, Medivri Rebbe Yossi B'Muklak. And I like Rebbe Yossi, which is to stay away, not to get involved by the Mansoor Muklak. Now, we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain that there's going to be two Lashonot in what Rebbe holds. This is one version of what Rebbe holds. But in this version of what Rebbe holds, the Gemara is going to say that this version holds that Rebbe holds that the most important person, the element for a person, it's Tavta Be'ishto. He wants the intimacy with his wife. That's the most important thing to him, the intimacy with his wife. So if I get involved with him, he's a Mitzora Muskar, so even if it comes out that he's a Mitzora Muklat, he'd still be with his wife. So at the worst case scenario, he's no worse off than he was before, even though for some other things he's worse off, but the most thing that can be concerned with him is the wife. So vis-a-vis the wife issue, I mean, he's worse off because he doesn't have Savta, what does the Gemara call it? He won't have Savta Da'alma. He won't have everybody else's interaction, but he can still have relations with the wife. That's the most important thing to him. Whereas with the Mitzora Muklat, and he wants to get back into the Machaneh, so if I declare him Tahor, somewhat counterintuitively, that's somewhat of a downer for him because now he can't have intimacy with his wife for 7 days. So I don't want to make him miserable on the Chol. We're talking about on a Chol HaMoed. On a Chol HaMoed, I don't want to get him upset. Let me just do 3-4 more lines and then I'll pause and we'll summarize and we'll go on, okay? So now, we don't know any of this, what I explained to you, but I think that's the Maskana. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amarava, the Tahor, Kliyamalo, Pligi, Lo, Chazulei. So Rava says, when it comes to a person, you get like the status quo ante. In other words, if he was Tahor, then for sure, everybody agrees, I should not look at this guy's Negayim on Chol HaMoed. Because there, it's only going to go downhill. It's not going to get any better. So he's Tahor right now. So the only thing that could happen, he's going to be Tameh. So don't get involved with, everybody agrees, both, like we'd say, Sai Rebbe Meir, Sai Rebbe Yossi, don't get involved with him if he's Tahor. The Hesker Rishon, if it's after the first week where he's been quarantined, which may or may not occur, but if he's been quarantined for a week, everybody agrees that I could see him after the 1 week. Because after the 1 week, so what are the possibilities? Either he's Tahor, that could be a possibility, or if no Simanim have come up, so he'll be sequestered for another week. Now, you could ask, what if it has all the Simanim, then he should be in much worse shape. But one second. He still got the rifle. One second, look, one second, he's going to answer this. One second, yeah. He says, Tosfos in Dibur Machter Behesker Rishon wonder about this explanation. It's certainly possible the Mitzora's situation to be worsened if he finds him, blah, 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 then he's full-time Mitzora. So Tosfos explains that even according to Rabbi Yossi, the Kohen is required to render a verdict only at the end of the second week of confinement when the Mitzora must be declared Tawar Tame. At the earlier stage, when there's an option of confining him further, the Kohen is not obligated to state a definitive opinion. Because even according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mitzora has nothing to lose by being exempted. In other words, right. So the Kohen could push it off another week. So there's nothing, no harm, no foul. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, he pleads. So the machloket, though, between Rabbi, so Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi have a machloket. But there's no machloket if he's completely tower, I'm staying away. There's no machloket if it's after the first week, I'm getting involved, but there's no harm, no foul. I'll be tower, or I'll get sent for another week. He pleads, he turned page on the top line on Amadeus, the Hesker Sheni. The machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, which is, do I get involved with this guy or don't get involved with him, is after, on Chol HaMoed, is after the second week of confinement. So after the second week of confinement, there's only two choices. You're going to Tara, you're going to Tuma. So Marsabar, so Remeir holds, but Kohen Talia Milta. Everything depends on the Kohen. E Tahor, Amar Le Tahor. So if the person's Tahor, he'll declare him Tahor. Ve Itame Shatik. And if he's Tame, he'll be quiet. He won't say anything. That's what Remeir holds. Umar Sabar, the other opinion, which is Rabbi Yossi holds, Letaro o letamo. So the pasuk says to declare him tahor tame kiv. So it means that he has to do one or the other. He can't do a shave al taaseh. That's what we think. Now, if you look at the Rashi on the fourth, third narrow line, sabar letaro tamo kiv the chichazi lekoin the tame lo matzi the mishtak. In other words, if he sees that he's tame, he can't be silent. So I shouldn't get involved. Because I'm going to like forstare his whole symptom. Now, the Bali Tosfot would explain that, or at least this is where the article had it. Let me just take a look. That there's another machloket between the two of them. So one machloket is Behesker Sheni, but then there's also machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. If you're Mitzora Mukhlat. In other words, we have 4 points where you could be, would be exempt by the Kohen. When you're Tahor, but you have a Nega, then after the Hesker Rishon, after the Hesker Sheni, and then when you're Mitzora Mukhlat and you want to go back in the Machaneh, that's also a point where you'd be examined. So again, Remei and Rabbi Yossi have Machloket by those last 2 points. So, and it's talking about on Chol HaMoed. So in each one of them, Remei says, you get involved. If he's Tahor, you'll say Tahor, he'll be happy. And if he's Tame, say nothing. That's what Remeir holds. Rabbi Yossi says, listen, stay away. Like, shave al Tase, because if you get involved, you're going to have to claim Tahor or Tame. Okay? All right, now, who's got questions, comments to us? Okay, we got a question here. I'll repeat the question in a minute.
What are you doing?
Which case?
Forget it.
You won't do anything. You won't get involved. They'll say, I need... No. No. In other words, they'll say, I want to see a coin. I'll say, I'll take a look at it after Yontif.
No.
Remeir. Remeir will say, check it out. So if he's Tahor, you'll say Tahor. And you say nothing. So if he says nothing, then I would think that his status would remain the same. That's what I think. His status would remain the same. He's like, held in that status, okay? All right. He was just asking me, Yosef was asking me, according to Remeir, after week number two, according to Remeir, what does he do? So I said, Remeir, either he declares him Tahor, or he says nothing. And so if he declares nothing, then it would preserve the status. I think he'd be in sort of an abeyance until he gets cleared. Hey, what's up? All right, wait a few lines for that. Because I jumped the gun with that. I jumped the gun, but it's an interesting ha'ara, but we'll talk about this. Okay. And any other questions, comments, and thoughts?
Can a Mitzora hang out with another Mitzora?
So that's an interesting question. So it's machloket among the mafarshim. So David asks, "Can if you're a mitzora, can you hang out with other mitzorayim?"
So Shabbaton.
Yes, I said this. I usually give a shiur.
Your wife,
yeah. So it says badad yeshev. So what does badad yeshev? So some want to say that you see from. Remember, there's a haftorah we have with our Bamos. Yeah. Right. So Daniel's been by the shiur. I've given it a number of times. He says arba'im ayu mitzorim petach hashar. So that's the haftorah for Parshas Mitzora, that there were four mitzorayim who were outside of Shomron. When Shomron was being attacked, and he says, I think that was with Aram. So from the fact that there were four Mitzrayim outside the Shaar, that sounds like, and the Chazal teaches it's Gehazi and his three sons. So that sounds like you could be with other Mitzrayim, but someone is saying no, you really can't be with other Mitzrayim, and that Saras was a different situation. So I hope to come to that in a little bit, but it's somewhat of a machloket what you're touching on. But I think that the Rav Blum has an article about it in one of his Sfarim, and I think but it seems like a machloket. Okay,
is it obvious that with the wife it's out? If both of mitzvahs,
yes. What?
If the wife and the husband are both mitzvah, wife and husband, is that obvious that's out?
Yeah. So. But Dani Yishev, again, so it's we're going to learn a machloket. It's a machloket when you're mitzor muchlat, whether you could be intimate with your wife or not. But if you could be intimate with your wife.
She's also mitzor. So
it's a family affair. So she could be mitzorad if she gets sarad. Yeah, she'd be tamei as well. But the. No. In other words, a mitzora is an avatuma. So he can be tamei people, but if she's mitzorah, then she's tamei in her own right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay. Let me move on. Let me get through because.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Now let me. And then if we have more time at the end, I'll speak more about this. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now on line 3. So Amar Mar, now we had the statement earlier in the Brisa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Nirin, now again, Rebbe really holds like Rebbe Yossi. So Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divar Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi means Sheval Tase. I'm not going to get involved. So Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divar Rebbe Yossi, but Muflat. Rebbe Yossi's opinion makes sense when it's Muflat. He's a Mitzora Muflat. He's a confirmed Mitzora. But Divar Rebbe Meir, but Muskar. But Divar Rebbe Meir means to get involved, to be proactive. When he's Muskar. So according to Rebbe, it means if he's Muskar, then I'm going to be, say Tameh or Tahor by Mitzor Muskar. So Bahatani Ipko, but in Brisa, that's one Brisa. That was Brisa number one. But then Bahatani in a different Brisa, we learn Ipko. We learn just the opposite. So in Brisa number two, Rebbe says, Nirin de Rebbe Yossi B'Muskar, that I'm going to be Sheval Tasa by the Muskar, and Rebbe Remeir. B'muklat, and then when he's a confinement store, it'll be like Remeir, where I will get involved. So Gemara says Tanai Yehalib the Rebbe. So it's a machloket Tanayim within Rebbe's what Rebbe actually said. Now the Gemara is going to give the Sfaras for both ways. So Mar Savar Ksavtah Da'ama Adiflei. So the second opinion that we just quoted holds that the most important thing for the Mitzora is Ksavtah Da'ama, is like the social interaction with people in the world. That's what he wants most of all. So that being the case, so this version holds that Rabbi Yossi is by the Muskar and Rabbi Meir by the Muchlat. So Rabbi Meir by the Muchlat means if he's Muchlat, in other words, he's a confirmed Mitzora, he's outside the Machaneh, so I will get involved with him to determine whether he remains Tamei or Tahor, because the most important thing for him, he wants to have interaction with people. So at worst, he won't be worse off, but possibly he'll be better off. So in that version would hold, yeah, get involved with him because it's like a no loss situation. It's like possibly, you know, my dreams. It's like getting out of quarantine, okay. Getting out of quarantine, right? In other words, I might, you know, be sprung from this prison. I can't stand it. I'm sick of the quarantine, and then I'll speak to people. At worst, I'm no worse off than I was before. So that would be that way, but. By the Muskar is still in the Machaneh. So he still has apparently some interaction with people. But now if he's declared Tameh, then he loses that. So that's the worst possible situation. So this Ukimta would hold that I get involved with him if he's I'll be like Rebbe Meir. In other words, I'll get involved with him if he's Masor Muklat, but not if he's Masor Muskar. Now, Umar Savar, but the other Brysa, which is the one that we did originally, which is what I explained Amud Aleph, the Savar, it's not the Ishto Adifalei, that the most important thing for a person is, like, you know, the ability to be intimate with his wife. That's the most important thing for him. So there, the equation is different. So there, if he's a Mesora Muklat, then I don't want to hear that I'm Tahor, because then I lose my ability to have intimacy for at least a week. In other words, somewhat counterintuitive. In other words, he's a Mesora Muklat. Now his nega is cured, but now as a result of that, he'll have to be away from his wife for a week. So that is, like, according to this Ukimta, is the worst possible thing. But if it depends, I guess, on the marriage. Anyway, now, on the other hand, with the Mitzorah Muskar, so he's with his wife, and even if he's a Muklat, he'll still be able to be with the wife. So, okay, now, okay, well, all right, well, we have to see all the variables. Okay, but the thing is, it's interesting about, like, the, you know, which is more important for a person, like socialization with the world or intimacy with his wife. Or maybe we'll hear something from the women on this in a minute. Okay, now, on line 10, so the Gemara says, L'meimer d'muklat mutar b'tashrish mita. So it sounds like, from this matlokin and this Gemara, that when you're a mitzora muklat, a confirmed mitzora, you can still have relations with the wife. That's the way it sounds like, the way we just explained it. So he says, that's true, the Gemara says. Now we'll see, it's going to be actually machloket tanayim, whether that is the case. Bahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, that says, V'yasham nichutz lo'halo shivat yamin. He in the Mitzvah, this is talking about when he's going through the Tahara process. In other words, he starts off with the birds, and then he's there for a week. So it says, V'yasham nichutz lo'halo shivat yamin. He'll sit outside his tent for 7 days. So when it says ohel, he says, So that means that he can't have relations with his wife. When it says ohel, that's like a code word for his wife. Like it says that Matan Torah, that after they gave the Torah, like they had to stay away from wives before Matan Torah. It's actually this week's Parsha Shavua, is Yitro, but this Pasuk is in Barim Hay, so it might be in Bait Hanan. I think Bait Hanan. So it says, Lechem or Lechem, Shubu Lechem Lo Lechem. Go tell them they can go back to their tent, to their wives. Now they can go back and be intimate with their wives. So that's the first opinion holds that. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivat Yimim Yisfru Lo, Yimei Sfiro Lo Yimei Chiluto. So this is really the first opinion. So Rabbi Yehuda holds. Now, Tosfos points out that this Pasuk, Shivat Yimim Yisfru Lo, doesn't belong here. But Rabbi Yehuda holds Yimei Sfiro below Yimei Chiluto, that the only time that the Mitzorah is prohibited of his wife is when he's counting those 7 days as part of his Tara process. Otherwise, he has his wife around. So that's the Tana we were doing with the previous Ukimta. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Shiva Yimei Sfiro, Kavachomer Yimei Chaluto. He says, you're right. The Torah teaches me that he's got to be away from the wife when he's going through the Tahara process. But Kavachomer, when he's Mitzorah Muklat, he's even in a worse situation. He certainly is prohibited with his wife. And remember that when he's a Mitzorah Muklat, so he grows his hair long, he rents his garment, he is so body shaped. So there are more prohibitions in place when he's a Mitzorah, and he's Mechutz L'Shlosh Machanot. So there are more prohibitions in place when he's a Mitzorah Muklat. So if it's true, when he's going through the Tahara process, you may fear us, is certainly there. But I'm a Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says, Dan Tilifnei Rabbi, I reasoned before Rabbi. He says, Limana Tan Rabbeinu, Yotam lo ayulo lo uziyahu elo bimei chiluto. I said, you know, if you do the cheshbonot, so, you know, there were different kings. Actually, this Haftorah this week, a lot of connections with Daf Yomi, is Bishnat Moda Melech Uziyahu, and when Uziyahu died. So Uziyahu was the king for 52 years, is the way they had it in the Art Scroll. Of the 52 years, 26 years he was a Mitzora. So when the Navi says Bishnat Moda Melech Uziyahu, I think it means he got Saras, like it was a death, because the Mitzora Chashav Kameh, the Gemara says in the second Adarim. So Uziyahu, So Uzziah had a son, Yotam, who took over after him. Now, when Uzziah died, Yotam was 25. So if he was a Metzora for the last 26 years of his life, and when he dies, he has a son who's 25, so the son was conceived when he was a Metzora. So he says, I argued before Rebbe, you taught us Yotam lo ayulo Uzziah lebein chiluto, that Yotam was conceived when Uzziah was a Metzora. So Amar lo, afani kachamarti. So Rebbe says that's the way I said as well. So notice, so I, Rebbe, hold like the Tzad that indeed a Metzora is allowed to have intimate relations with his wife. So explaining Rebbe's opinion above, so that's the Malach we were going. But there is a Tana that holds differently. Okay, now, the Gemara says, we'll say again what? No. In other words, it would make a difference. In other words, if a Metzora is not allowed to have relations with his wife, then it doesn't matter what his wife's status is. No, that's it. In other words, that's it. And especially according to the Tzad that we said, Badari Yeshevi, you have to be by yourself. So it sounds like I assume that even though it's Badari Yeshevi, you could have relations with the wife, according to the Rebbe. But so the Gemara says, B'mai Kamifliki. So what's the point of dispute between the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that it's only B'mai Spiro, and the Tana Rebbe Yossi B'Rebbe Yehuda, it sounds like it's Rebbe Yehuda's son, who holds that it's Kava Komer. So it sounds like a father-son machloket. This is interesting. I went through this daf today, you know, several times. I didn't pick up that it was a father and son. So Rebbe Yossi B'Rebbe Yehuda, he holds that not just Svei Sfiro, it's Mechiluto. Mike Mifliki. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Yossi B'Rebbe Yehuda Savar, Gai Rechbanam Mei Sfiro, L'Choshkein Mechiluto. So Rebbe Yossi B'Rebbe Yehuda says, the Torah reveals to me that B'Mei Sfiro, he can't be with the wife, and using Kava Chomer, and anybody could judge a Kava Chomer. So Kava Chomer Mechiluto. He says, Umar Savar, his father, Rebbe Yehuda, holds, my gali gali, my lo gali lo gali. That which the Torah reveals is revealed, that which not, not. Now, let's see Tosfos on this. 1, 2, 3, 4. The four Tosfos from the end of the daf. Everybody have it? So, my lo gali, ish makshin lama in Rebbe Doresh Kavachomer. So, somebody asks, why does it, so Rebbe is the one who also agrees with Rebbe Yehuda that, that it's just B'mei Sfiro, not B'mei Chiluto. So why doesn't he darshan this Kavah Chomer? Anybody can make up a Kavah Chomer, and that seemed like a pretty good Kavah Chomer. So what's wrong? So Tosfos says, V'shema Yesham Pircha. Maybe there was some question that Rebbe Yehuda was aware of that the Gemara doesn't spell out. So you have a Kavah Chomer, but I got a question against the Kavah Chomer. That would be it, but that's one answer. V'shema Mitzora Chidashu. Or perhaps I could say like this, that the dinim of Mitzora are all a chiddush. In other words, the fact that he can't have relations with his wife, that's a chiddush. That's not anywhere else in halacha by a Tommy person that he can't have relations with his wife. So if it's a chiddush, so I can't learn a Kavah Chomer with a chiddush. In other words, if it's some a novelty, that's answer two. No, that he cannot. In other words, that the Mitzora cannot have relations with his wife, Mei Sfiro, that's unique to Mitzora. It doesn't exist anywhere else in Halacha. So maybe I can't make a Kavah Chomer from a Kiddush. I cannot make a Kavah Chomer Kiddush, but then maybe that qualifies. Inami, or answer number three, Shivat Yami Mashma Miyut, La Puki Yami Chiluto, or the way he understands it, when it says Shivat Yamim, it means Shivat Yamim to the exclusion of any other time. So if it's just Shivat Yamim, so then 7 days and not any more days. So he says here, V'idach, so the other tzad, which means it's Bar Pelukta would say, the Mistrich Lagufa. In other words, I need that Shivat Yamim, just means the plain halakha. He says, Miu mi the thive lo shvumi lamiute. So the first side would say, it says lo, but the lo is really in that pasuk in Yechezkel. But the bottom line is, you have three potential arguments why he would not want to learn the Kavah Chomer. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. So, wait. Let me let me get through the sugya, okay? Then we'll take questions, okay? So the Gemara says, the main word of the Kohen Talia Milta. So it sounds like, from everything we said, that everything rides on the Kohen. In other words, the Kohen declares you Tame, you're Tame. The Kohen Tower, you're Tower. Everything based on what the Kohen says. Doesn't matter what like the objective facts are. If the Kohen declares you Tame, you're Tame. I mean, the Kohen's going to follow the objective facts, but until he makes his pronouncement, you're not nishtahe, nishtahir, neither here nor there. So he says, so the Mamer of the Kohen tell you Milta, it, the Gemara says, absolutely, that is the case. He says, Vahatani, we learned the Braisa. Like in other words, Vahatani is frequently a question. Here it's like Benihuta, here's the statement. Vahatanya, Uviyom Hiro'ot Bo. So it says, this is talking about a person who's got tzaras from head to toe. So if he's got tzaras from head to toe, so somewhat counterintuitively, he's tahor. In other words, if he's tzaras from mikafra glo biat kakado, from the tip of his toes to the top of his head, he's covered with tzaras, then he's tahor. And then there's different explanations why he's tahor. But he says, ubiyom hiro basar, if now there's some plain flesh that appears on him, now he becomes Tame. Now he's only 98% covered with Saras. Now he's Tame. So it says, Uviyom Hiro'ot Bo, Basar Chayitma. On the day that he's got the Basar Chay, he becomes Tame. So Yesh Yom Shtaruebo, Yesh Yom Shiataruebo. So the Gemara darshens out in the Braisa, Uviyom, on that day, that there are days you declare him Tame, and days you declare him, you wouldn't declare him Tame. Mikan Amru, so from here Chazal learned out, Chatan shenolad bo nega nonim lo shivat yimei hamishta. If he's a chasen, and you know, even though he's you know, he's got saras chas v'shalom, you wouldn't declare him tame when he's during his chasana. He said during the 7 days of mishta, he says lo lebeito l'chsuto. He means you wouldn't declare him tame. You wouldn't declare his house tame. You wouldn't declare his beged tame because he's a chasen. In other words, you don't want to parshter the simcha. You don't want to ruin the simcha. Parshter is like you want to like ruin it, right? Like right, mix in the misery with the simcha. So he says, "V'chein beregel donim lo shivat yimei amregel de Rabbi Yehuda." And similarly, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, during a yantiv, you give a guy a pass during yantiv because the mitzvah on yantiv is samach tabachagecha. There's a mitzvah for the chasen to be misameich his wife, and there's a mitzvah on yon the regel to be happy as well. So Rabbi Omer, so that's the way Rabbi Yehuda darshens the pasuk. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, Eino Tzarek. Rebbe says, I agree with that conclusion, but I don't think you need that pasuk to prove that point. Rebbe Omer, Eino Tzarek, Harei Omer, V'tziva Kuenu Finu Rabayit. So it says, let's say a person has a house that's got the Negayim on the walls, so the Kohen is going to look at the house, but the Kohen gives directions to empty out the contents of the house before he examines the house. So if he declares the house Tamei, so at least you have the chefs that were in there aren't Tame. So he says, so if you knew to buy it, so imam tinlo the bar harashut, if we're going to like delay the declaration of the Kohen in order to save somebody money, davar harashut is optional. It was, you know, the contents are worth $10,000. So to save them $10,000, I'm going to delay the Kohen's declaration of the house being Tame. So he says, cool, she came to the Dvar Mitzvah. So kavachomer, it is an underlying Dvar Mitzvah. And here the Dvar Mitzvah would be like a chasen to be Mesameich's wife, or the regel, or the person to be Vesamachta Bechagecha. Certainly I'll delay the declaration of the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Mai Benayu. So what's the difference whether I follow the first opinion, which was Rebbe Yehuda, or Rebbe? They both agree that a chasen I shouldn't do, and I shouldn't do it during the regel. So Amar Abaye, Mashmat Dorsh and Ikim Inayu. So Abaye says the only difference is what Pesach they learn it from. And that's, I mean, there is no difference between the two of them. Rava Amar, Devar Rishut Ikim Inayu. Rava says, no, there is a chiluk, because according to the first way, I can only do it for Devar Mitzvah. But in the second way, it was based on a Kavacholmer from Devar Rishut. Devar Rishut was to save money. So if there's a situation where I have Devar Rishut, so then not only would I delay declaring the house Tamei, I would declaring the person Tommy. I don't know what the situation would be, but you can, you know, concoct like a fact pattern where, you know, if I declare him Tommy, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if he's about to close a real estate deal. I don't know what the situation would be, but it's going to cost him money. I don't know, the real estate deal might be like prospective money, but it would in some way, declaring him Tommy is going to cost the money. So that would be in one nafkamina. Now the Gemara wants to know the typical, why each one doesn't learn the other way the other one learns. Rabbi Yehuda, Mehatam lo gamrinan. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not going to learn out from the Pasuk by the Tzaras Habayit, the Chiddushu, because that din is completely a Chiddush. So from the Chiddush, we're not going to learn. The top line of Chedem and Aleph, the Eitz of Avani Ba'alma lo mitamu. In other words, wood and stone is normally not Makabal Tuba. But by the Bayit, it is Mekabel Tumah. So that's an atypical halacha. So from it's an anomaly in halacha. So from an anomaly, I'm not going to extrapolate a general principle. In other words, it's just this is unique to Tzaraas. He says, Mahacha Mitamu, now he is Tame. So I'm not going to learn anything from that pasuk. Rebbe Amar, Itzrich. Rebbe says, I need both psukim. He says, the Ikatab Rahman of Yom wrote Bo, if the Torah would have only written the first pasuk from which Rebbe Yehuda quotes, which I agree is the Limud, Havamina, the Dvar Mitzvah in, the Dvar Rishud Lo. I would say, yeah, you know, the only heter you have is you're going to delay any declaration regarding the person where there's an underlying mitzvah. But like a chasana, like a chasana during Shiva Simei Mishnah, or during the Rego. He says, the Dvar Mitzvah in, the Dvar Rishud Lo, but I wouldn't know to delay it because the Dvar Rishud is like an optional, like a financial deal. So Katan Rahmanu B'Tzibah Koin. So Torah has the second Pasuk teach you that even for, you know, where it's going to cost the person money, I should delay it. B'Katan Rahmanu B'Tzibah Koin. If the Torah would have only written the second Pasuk B'Tzibah Koin, Havamina, Hani in Delav Tuma Degufa. I would say there you could delay it. He says, Delav Tuma Degufa, because it's not Tuma that comes out of the body. He says, in other words, that the tuma of the bayit is different than the tuma de guf. About tuma de gufa, ema mechsa chazile. Then the tuma de guf, I would say, let me make sure I got this right. Let me just take a quick peek. He says, yeah, it's not tuma of a person's body, right? But whereas tuma of a person's body, bodily saras, I would say the coin has to view without delay. He says, right. Anyways, let's take a look back at the door. He says, aval. So I need both psukim. Okay. So let me just summarize. Then we'll take. We have a few minutes for questions and a few minutes for some Divrei Torah. That'll be it for the night. So let me just summarize again. So the basic idea we got into in this last piece is, first we had whether with intimacy with the wife, but then we got into So we had gotten to a discussion: is it just Yimei Sfira, or is it even Yimei Chaluta, even Yimei Chilut? So one way is to say the Torah only reveals Yimei Sfira, and I'm not going to send it to Yimei Chilut. And the other is to say no, it's a Kavah Chomer that way. And then the Gemara got into the last piece that everything's talui with the declaration of the Kohen, in other words, his declaration. So the Gemara says that is indeed the case. In other words, until the Kohen declares you Tame, you're not Tame. And until the Kohen declares you Tahor, meaning after you had Saras, you're not Tahor. Everything depends on the declaration of the Kohen, and everybody agrees on that. And but they said though, but if it's during like the Shiva Simei Mishnah, I'm gonna hold off. And if it's during, you know, Moed, I'm going to hold off. And then we had a Kavah Chomer from the Tzaraas Habayit. And then that seems to be for like financial distress. You could delay the declaration. All right. Questions? And then I'm going to do some more Torah. Who's got questions?
Man, it's Ramaslah, and he declared Tahor. Then for 7 days, he cannot be with his wife.
Correct.
But at any point, I mean, eventually it's going to be Tahor and it's going to come.
Right.
So the only issue here is that you do not want to come and put that time period in Olam Moed.
Right.
Shot, yes.
Right. That's it. 100% correct. All right. Any other questions? That's correct.
How do they explain the
house? Yeah. So that in other words, we're talking about. No. We're talking about the Mitzora, like the person with his guf. The house, everybody agrees, is going to be delayed for money. But the question is, does that apply to a person? Yeah, so in other words, the machloket is by the person. By the house, yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, the house, I agree, but that's a chiddush. Okay, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, so let me just do some Torah here, and based on what time we have. And then... All right, now... Now, this relates to what Pesach David was asking before about, you know, it's sort of like slightly arranged with this, but now in the Midbar, the Mitzvah is outside the three Machanot. You have Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, and Machane Yisrael. So in the Midbar, the Mitzvah is outside all three Machanot. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, they're outside the wall of the city. So if the wall of the city is from time Yehoshua ben Nun, then the Mitzora is sent outside that city. Okay, please let's just listen for a minute and then we'll pause, okay? So let's say the city is not Mukefet Choma, so there's no mitzvah of Shiluah at all, and the Mitzora can stay in the city. So it comes out Lechora that in those cities, the Kohanim are free to check the Nagayim during Chol HaMoed, because the Mitzora is going to remain with the Chevra anyway. But the fact is, the Mishnah and the Talmud, that Halak is not mentioned. So the question is, you know, what about with cities that aren't, you know, surrounded by the wall? So he says here, he quotes from Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, author of the Aruch HaShulchan. So in his Aruch HaShulchan HaAtid, he has another work, Aruch HaShulchan HaAtid, the future Aruch HaShulchan, in which he talks about different halakhot that are not in the regular Shulchan Aruch, like korbanot and things like that. So he says, it makes a chiddush. He wants to say that even in a city that wasn't Mukefet Choma, there's a chov on the Mitzora to be by himself and not to permish with other people. And it comes out that the Kohanim would avoid even declaring somebody Mitzora, even in a place like that. All right. Anyway, there's a whole discussion about the city of Shomron. We mentioned the Haftorah, how there was outside the city of Shomron. And the question is, the city of Shomron was built by Omri. So Omri is living after the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So why are these Mitzorayim even sent out of the city? What's going on with that? So one way is to say that Omri didn't build it from scratch. It was a pre-existing city, but it doesn't send the Zariah the other way. So, but there's one interesting idea, which is that that those Mitzorayim, they had a different type of Zariah. They had, right. Remember it says that Naaman starts Bamel Haram was a Mitzora. Remember in the Navi, Naaman had Zariah. And then Gehazi, then Naaman comes to Elisha, and Elisha cures Naaman. And then Naaman says, listen, you know, I want to give you money. He says, no, this is what I do for a living. I don't take money for it. Then Gehazi runs after Naaman. He says, my master changed his mind. Give me the loot. So he gives him things. And then Gehazi walks in the door, and Elisha says, oh, you know, I know you took X, Y, and Z. He says, now the Saras of Naaman should be in you. So one of the Mefarshim wants to say that the tzaras that Naaman, that Gehazi had and his three sons, he says that you and your children are going to have the tzaras, wasn't the tzaras that the Torah is speaking about. It's like tzaras it's just contagious disease, but it's not like the tamei tzaras, it's a different type of tzaras. So the fact that they were out of the city was just they didn't want the guy with the contagious disease. It's like the COVID, we don't want him around it. Anyway, okay, I got to wrap it up. Anyway, okay, nice having everybody. Let me end the recording.